Hey everybody, it's John, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my way to or from work as a high school instructional coach here just in Washington, D.C. Traffic is bad, and that means I have a good amount of time to sort of do a brain dump or a brainstorm here on the podcast, about 10 or 11 minutes each week, every Monday, new episodes, and we talk just one sort of basic strategy or one classroom approach or one instructional technique that you can plug and play in your classroom as soon as today. The idea being that we don't teach content, we use our content to teach kids, to teach people, and these ideas can be swapped or shared and modified and scaffolded growing up to any course or content area from littles through middles all the way through high school and even to the colleges and beyond. So that's the story of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. There's more about it. I'd love to talk with you. So if you want to give me your impressions of this stuff, feel free to fire off messages back at me on Twitter. This is a dialogue and I would love to join in it with you. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name, M-E-E-H-A-N, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching and I want to get better at it. So I love to collaborate with teachers all over the country and around the world about it. Likewise, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's like adrenaline, but with an education twist, right? Adrenaline. So you can check us out there. And I have a book coming out in about 2 months from Dave Burgess Consulting. So I'm super pumped. If you like what you're hearing, I would love to, you know, give you a copy of the book, get you a copy of the book. It'd be cool if you bought a copy of the book. But yeah, I give a whole bunch of tips and resources on my website too, so please feel free to check that out. But today we're talking about something that went accidentally viral and I'm over the moon about it. And so on Monday morning here on my way into work, I'm recording this podcast about what has grown to become, drum roll, the Egg Dash Challenge. If you haven't yet heard of the Egg Dash Challenge, I'm going to invite you to play. It's a lot of fun. It's super easy. You can do it any course or content area, and I'll walk you through the story of how it came to be and some considerations about how you can make it happen in your classroom this week. This episode is going live last week of March. We are about a month out from the Easter break holiday, and even if your school is not a Christian school, and they don't have to be, I happen to teach at a Catholic school, but your school might be a public or a private or anything else for that matter. Plastic Easter eggs are pretty much all over the place. Easy to find in places like Walmart or Target. Even if you want to go to your local grocery store, they do have them. And if you wait a little bit after, if you're listening to this podcast a little later, they tend to be on sale for pennies on the dollar afterwards. Ridiculously cheap because they're just plastic eggshells. Don't cost too much. You don't have to use plastic eggshells if you feel uncomfortable with that. I, for the original challenge, used Lego-style, I think they're called Mega Constructs, Pokemon balls. Just plastic shells you pop open and, you know, right, they put a thing inside. But I've seen teachers use plastic test tubes, Fortnite llamas. I saw somebody use the game of, like, the fishing game with the rod and the little plastic fish that you put in a little pond. So you can use those. You can use crumpled up paper balls. You can use envelopes. You can use just even really anything you think of. There's a lot of ways you can go about it with the Egg Dash Challenge. But for the sake of today's conversation, I'm going to call them eggs just because that's just faster. So Egg Dash Challenge, here's how it goes. You take any old worksheet, any old review activity, anything you want your students to currently be working on. Sometimes this is super duper low level, just to recap, hey, what happened last night in the book? Or hey, let's do some times tables. Or, you know, can we find elements of the periodic table? Whatever you're working on. Take that worksheet and cut it up into strips or pieces. Then take those strips and stash them in plastic Easter eggs or the hiding object of your choice. So far, so good, right? Then take all of those eggs and put them in a box or a bucket in the middle of the floor of your classroom. Have your students break up into teams. I usually like teams of no more than 4 or 5. Then you set a timer on the big board and you say, on your mark, get set, go. Students send one runner to race up to the bucket, grab an egg or an orb or an item, and take it back to their desk group to solve with their teammates, using one sheet of paper right there that's kept on their team the whole time. So this sheet of paper stays with the team, and then just runners come up and retrieve new questions each time. When they think they've solved it, they then take the egg, lock the question back up in the egg, and head back to the bucket, drop it off, and grab a new one, like a shuttle run or a baseline sprint in basketball, which is super easy. And then you run the clock in the background. The goal is to answer as many questions as you possibly can before the time expires. You can have some music, it can be kind of fun, okay, and that's pretty much the game. The reveal at the end, because we don't want to reward just speed. We want to record skill and strategy and accuracy. Looks like this. After time expires, you hit 3, 2, 1, you hit the stop button, and then one, you reveal every single answer that was in the problem set. It's key to make sure that your problems are numbered on those slips of paper. So problem number one, or problem number seven, problem number 15, whatever it is, because on the big board, then you'll reveal the answers. So maybe it's like, oh, the answer number 15 was square root of 4, which is 2, right? Or maybe the answer to number 6 was enjambment, because you're looking at a poem and the technique that you had labeled number 6 was whatever that looks like. Okay, fine. That is in itself surprising, because students want to sort of see if they got it right. It's not just how many they got, but how many they got right. On top of it, for scaffolding purposes, for a backup, make sure that you're not just doing speed, consider weighting every question worth a different point value. So those questions that were harder and you knew would take longer time to solve could be worth, let's say, 5 points or 10 points. And I love this activity because it adds some layer of variability, some layer of surprise. And if you look at the idea of what they call the mother mechanics when you design a game, they say that most games use some combination of four mother mechanics. It's a bit of Greek, so here we go, some Greek history. They use Greek and Latin, actually. They use the word agon, which is a game of, like, the word agony, right? Skill. Right? Can I beat you in this game? Are you stronger than me? Am I stronger than you? So if your brain is stronger, you have the agon element there. They have what they call alia, which comes from the Latin word meaning dice, and it literally means, like, there's a roll of the dice, some chance, some luck. So if you got the right ball, if you didn't get the right ball, there's some luck involved with that. They have games of what they call mimicry, where you can sort of see yourself from behind the eyes of a character, like a role-playing game. There's not too much of this, though it certainly could be, I guess, if you themed your questions to that direction. And then they have the Greek concept of ilinx, which is a whirlpool. It's just random stuff happens sometimes. They either cause delight or they cause chaos. And the fact that the hidden point values come up at the end does add an element of chaos to the game, which is nice. A little bit of each different game type to keep people interested in it. Now, some considerations for anybody, because it's important that we share this. First and foremost, this was originated by a teacher training that I led, I guess, last week. We posted up a video online of teachers enjoying the activity, and it wound up going viral, which is awesome. We had about 65,000 views over the course of 3 days, which is just so humbling and so awesome to see people excited to use it in their classroom. All you need is plastic eggs and a bunch of questions from a worksheet. You can cut it up. Now, full disclosure and some answers and some questions. First and foremost, I understand, and I hope you understand, that this is not like the tip of the mountaintop on how to do a gamified classroom. Not at all. This is, in fact, the lowest hanging fruit for a game-inspired design. But sometimes teachers need to just hammer through low-level content. I think it's important to recognize that review activities can add a little bit of life or energy to what otherwise could be a sort of slog. You know, so things like a times table, things like de-stemmed question starters for standardized tests, things like memorizing a periodic table or just terms involving vocabulary. Little ways to get your kids excited can go a long way, because it can be a booster rocket to help them feel like it isn't so much of a death slog. And for the people who are criticizing, like saying, well, that's a game, you're making a game out of learning. Hey, what I'd say is, if it gets my students riding a little wave of momentum, that is a Trojan horse I am happy to put into my classroom. If I think about things like Sudoku or crossword puzzles, I know those games make me smarter. I'm not thinking about numbers, I'm not thinking about letters, I'm thinking about getting the right answer. And because this rewards the right answer, I think it's an awesome way to do it. But some other considerations. First and foremost, like I said, the game is content agnostic, and it is belief system agnostic. So if you are not in a Christian or a Catholic school and you don't feel comfortable using Easter eggs, I get it. So don't use Easter eggs. Use, you know, orbs, use bags, use, test tubes. Whatever works out for you, please don't feel the need to make it a religious activity for any reason. I've seen teachers online taking the activity already and posting it out in their classrooms using Easter eggs, and then they're painting them different colors, and they're making them like dragon's eggs, and they're theming the whole thing like a dragon has taken over the kingdom, and he's laid all these eggs in these different areas. How cool, right? I think that's such an awesome way to make people step up the theming of the game, and now you have a little bit of that mimicry, a little bit of that story element, which really does help enrich the narrative of the activity and gives it purpose. So you can certainly modify it or adjust it to your activity classroom. Some other points. Consent matters. You should never force someone to be physical in any capacity, particularly in a classroom. You're like, hey, kids, I want you to get up and run. If students want to run, let them run. If you feel comfortable and safe letting them run, provide the space available and make sure that they have a good time. What I found with the game is that if you put the bucket on the floor, sometimes people knock heads, so you want to be careful not to put the bucket on the floor. You can put it on a desk or on a chair or on a table. But if someone in your group is unable or unwilling or uncomfortable doing the running, they don't have to, right? They can work with their teammates, and they can still be an equal contributing member back at the desk group when situations are being solved. I think that's super duper important. Likewise, ableism is uncool and kind of mean, so if you are forcing anybody to run, when we ran the PD, we did it with teachers who were in their 20s all the way up through in their 70s. I didn't want to have people hurting each other, and I didn't want people having to hurt themselves. So we gave people the opt-out, we gave people the chance to pick or nominate runners, and people generally had a good time because they felt that they were being respected in that physical capacity. Likewise, I encouraged everybody to join the hashtag egg-challenge. By posting videos or photos of what they're doing in their classes to the web, because I think it's awesome to invite other teachers to join in the fun. Use the hashtags adrenaline and egg-challenge, and everyone else can see what you're doing. But again, consent matters. Consent above all things. If people in your room are being filmed, you should tell them they're being filmed. And if they don't feel comfortable being filmed, don't use that camera. The goal is not to be exploitative. The goal is to be celebratory and excited. And I want to be able to welcome that to those teachers who are able to welcome that in their classroom, but also to respect the privacy of those who are unable to make those things happen. And there are ways you can get those photos without putting your learners' faces, certainly. Even just hands reaching in a bowl, you can see the energy of things like that. It's colorful, it's bright, it's a great chance to just put a little bit of fun and excitement in what otherwise could just be a kind of a dud of an activity. And it's a goal to kind of step you up further into the next levels of gamification. If you can get excited doing something as simple as this, I have a bunch of templates on the website, a bunch of other ideas, and there's certainly great communities you can tap into to start leveling up your gameplay. When you realize we can surrender more of our classrooms to our students, it becomes fun because they can be co-shapers of the learning together. And that enthusiasm is infectious. And like I said, that is a horse I will ride any day of the year. So that's it for the day. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. If you have questions, feel free to message me on Twitter @MeehanEDU. I'll be back with another episode next week.